So much for being faithful to God's house. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Title of the message is Anticipating Judgment. Or you might say, Looking Towards Judgment. And I know that's not a popular topic, but I think there are some folks that when they get to Judgment Day are going to be very happy to be there. Amen? I guess it all depends on whether you're prepared or not. I know a lot of folks are not going to be happy to be there, but I'll show you some things about that this morning from Matthew. Don't turn there, but just think about this for a minute. Back in Genesis, way back in Genesis, I think it's chapter 6, God saw the wickedness in the world, and he came to Noah. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said, Noah, build an ark. Amen. Now, I did not look these numbers up, and I remember one time I was preaching in Salt Lake City 20-something years ago, and I was quoting the dimensions of the ark from memory. I don't have the best memory. And I would quote a dimension from the ark, and there was a fellow sitting right over here, and he'd correct me. Okay. I'd quote a dimension of the ark, and he'd correct me, So don't correct me if I don't give you the right numbers here, but it took Noah over 100 years to build that ark.
Amen.
For 100 years, it didn't rain. For 100 years, there was no evidence at all of God's judgment. And remember this, the world was wicked when Noah started building the ark. How much more wicked do you think it got? Over 100 years, Noah built that ark. And the people that walked by and saw what Noah was doing, I'm very sure that the majority of them, in their blindness, not expecting God's judgment, thought, this man is crazy. Now, he kept on building. And before it rained, if you would have asked anybody who had seen the ark, do you think Noah has faith? Look what he built. Look what he did. Look how he spent his life. Other people spent their life, I don't know what, ease, comfort, getting rich or whatever. Noah's building an ark. What do you do with a boat that big sitting on dry land when it never has rained before? A lot of folks thought the man was crazy, and then it rained. And in that day that it rained, God had shut the door with Noah and his family and the animals inside. You ask, how'd the animals get in there? How do you get animals in an ark? I have to ask God when you get to heaven. I don't know. I just believe the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
And if you were to ask those people outside when the door was shut and when the rain began, they would have said, you know what? Noah wasn't so crazy after all. They saw his faith, but they would not follow it. Now, today, we live in an age where those kinds of circumstances are being repeated in a certain way. You have seen the faith of other people. In the passage we're going to look at this morning, these people saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and they saw his works. You say, well, Pastor, we never have seen the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you have. You've seen creation. Oh, come on, folks. By now, with all the knowledge that science has, don't tell me you still believe evolution's a possibility. Too much evidence against that. And so you've seen the works of God. You've seen people that had faith, people like Noah that gave their life to serving God. And now, one day, all of us are going to stand before God. The term used here in Matthew chapter 11 is the day of judgment. And we want to talk about that just a little bit this morning. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 30, and we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, then began he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning that we have been given the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Many here trusted Christ at an early age. Somewhere along the way, we heard the gospel, and we asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And I don't know the hearts of these people, Lord, but you do. I'd pray that if there's any here that has not yet received Christ, that they don't know where they're going to spend eternity, that they're not sure they're saved, that they'd be saved today. Lord, I'd freely admit that I'm weak. I do not have the ability to do what needs to be done here this morning, but you do. And I pray that you would simply give me the words to say in these next few moments, that you'd bless us as we open the Bible, and that we would find the truth that would affect our souls and change our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a word that occurs a couple of times in that first part of that passage, in verse 22 and in verse 24. It's the word tolerable. Now, I have good news. I think, for the most part, I know almost everyone here, and I think we all profess to know Christ as our Savior. What I mean by that is that there was a day when you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. And that's not just so you wouldn't go to hell, but that's also that he would change your life, because you did not want your sin, you wanted Christ. Amen. And I can say it 1,000 times if I thought it would do any good, you cannot have Christ and your sin. Now, you do not become perfect when you get saved, but you become different. And what you desire changes, and the way you see sin changes. And change is the key here. Because that was the problem with these cities. They had seen his mighty works, and it did not affect the way they lived their lives. They did not repent. They wouldn't change. If you're here today and you're saved, you say, Pastor, there's a time in my life when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior, and I asked him to save me and deliver me from my sins, and I know he lives in me. There's evidence of that. Then when you and I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, God won't see our sin. He will see the righteousness of Christ. But there are people that have not accepted Christ. They've rejected him. There's a lot of ways that you can reject Christ. You can reject him by trying to save yourself. Someone says, if I did the right things, went to the right church, and conducted the right ordinances and so on, and was good enough, then I could be saved. The Bible says, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You cannot work your way to heaven. You can't get to heaven by doing good. Now, if you get saved, you will do some good. But that's not what's going to get you to heaven. The blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins. These people in Matthew chapter 11 had seen the Lord Jesus Christ do some amazing things. Let's just dive in here a little bit and see a few things. In the first place, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20, Jesus talking says, that most of his mighty works were done in these cities. Now, I have a thought. If the Lord Jesus Christ considers a work mighty, we ought to as well. Amen. These have got to have been some things that were very notable. The Bible tells us some things about these cities. First of all, Capernaum is where the Lord healed the centurion's daughter. You might remember that back in Matthew chapter 8. It was also the site of Peter's house, and the Lord had healed Peter's mother-in-law. And that happened in Capernaum. Bethsaida, not too far from there, on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, is very near where Christ fed the 5,000. He restored a blind man's sight there in Bethsaida as well. Chorazin is just a little ways away from those two cities. Nothing specific I could find quickly in the Bible about what happened there. But the Bible does say that Jesus upbraided them. The word upbraid means to shame them or to reproach them, to tell them that they should be ashamed of themselves for not having paid attention to what he had done. And then he uses the word woe. And that word woe is a word that means grief, distress, regret, or sorrow. He says to them in verse 21, woe unto thee. I wouldn't want to hear the Lord say those words to me, amen? I wouldn't want the Lord to come to me and say, it's not going to be tolerable for you in the day of judgment. Now, we talk about what these people had seen in a short period of time. Think about the opportunities that we have had in our lifetime. First of all, we live in a land, in a nation, that has the pure Bible in our language. And folks, let me tell you something. This is an amazing work of God. It is so amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ told the rich man from Luke 16, he said, if people won't hear Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't hear even if someone rose from the dead. This book's more amazing than a miracle. And we have this book in our language. Now, some people have tried to corrupt it, but we've still got it. We've seen in our generations amazing things happen in our nation in terms of people getting saved. We're still, as ungodly as we are becoming, we're still the most Christian nation on earth. Churches in almost every town, many churches in some towns, not just churches, but churches preaching the gospel. I know it's getting worse. There are churches now that really aren't churches at all. They don't really preach the gospel. They just try to raise a crowd and have a kind of a party instead of a worship service. But there are still good churches in our land. You and I grew up in an independent Baptist church, and I can remember the preaching when I was a child, and I can remember seeing people getting saved and baptized and missionaries sent out, and we've seen God do some great things. Just having access to a church, having access to preaching and teaching, having access to the Word of God, and then seeing what God can do around us, we also should know what to do. These people had seen the Lord Jesus Christ heal. They had heard him preach. But they went on and did things their way anyway. It says they did not change. And because of that, their day of judgment would be less tolerable. Look at what he compares them to. He compares them to Tyre and Sidon. Those were notably wicked cities of their day. And then he compares them in verse 23 to Sodom. Now we know the wickedness of Sodom. How can you imagine they would have felt if they would have realized what this really meant when Jesus said, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than it is for you, because of what opportunity they had had that they had not taken. It makes me think more and more and more. I sure am glad I got saved. Amen? And not just that. It's good to be saved. But folks, once you get saved, there's a life to live, and there's a way to live that life. And the question is, are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve yourself? I try to stay very upbeat. I try to stay positive as much as I can, and it's discouraging sometimes to see the way people act, and you want to kind of get down on that a little bit and bash it some. I'll say this, it is sad to me that we have to beg folks to come to church. Folks ought to want to come to church, amen? It is sad to me that we have to beg folks to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It's most sad to me that we can go to a house and show somebody scriptures that talk about their heart and their life and their soul and their eternity, and that they would reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But those people aren't saved, of course, and so they really don't fit that first category. I think it's going to be true, there's no doubt in my mind, that when we step into eternity, lost folks are going to wish they'd gotten saved, but saved folks are going to wish they'd served the Lord.
Amen.
No question about that. This won't take very long. I want to show you some things in this passage that I think are very fascinating. Three things that there's going to be to be expect in the day of judgment. First of all, condemnation for some. Again, in verses 20 through 24, look what he says. Let's read a couple of things here. He says in verse 20, because they repented not. It says in verse 21 that Tyre and Sidon would have repented long ago. He says there in verse 23, he says, it'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon. In verse 24, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment. And he talks about hell in verse 23 and all the things that he has done. Now, I want you to know something, that when judgment day comes, there are going to be some people that are going to find it intolerable. They're going to find themselves either cast into hell if they were lost, or they're going to find themselves unrewarded if they are a Christian. You realize that the Bible talks about rewards. It says even a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name won't lose its reward. Every day, you and I can do things that God will reward. It starts out with something as simple as that, just being kind to somebody, just being willing to be that person that's not so selfish or so hard-hearted that they don't care about how anybody else does, but to care for somebody and to do something to help them out. The Bible says that's commendable. How much more when we give them the gospel? Amen? I wonder what the reward is for handing out a tract. I wonder what that is. I think there is one, amen? You ever think about you're going to get to heaven and you'll realize at that point in time all the things you could have done that you just let the opportunity slip by. All the people you could have told, all the tracts you could have handed out, all the times when you could have been faithful and you weren't, all those times when you could have served and you didn't. I think this is a great opportunity to have a missions conference and to send missionaries out. I know there's a reward for that. But it'll be intolerable for some because they would not hear. They wouldn't be affected. They wouldn't repent. They wouldn't change. Now, you go to verse 25, and you can tie all these verses together. You can see another group of people in verse 25, and it's some fascinating doctrine here in these verses. Just touch a couple of high spots. He says in verse 25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. I just ask you right now, as I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, your people that have trusted Christ, aren't you glad God gave you that chance to hear?
Amen.
I think we take that for granted. I'm so glad I had a chance to hear. I'm so glad I was, for all the strange twists and turns in my life, God saw fit to put me in a family that took me to a church that preached the real gospel from the real Bible, and I got saved. And it was a little independent Baptist church in Carlsbad, New Mexico in the 1960s, and preached the King James Bible, preached the gospel every Sunday, and God touched my heart, and I got saved. Don't take your salvation for granted. And don't take the opportunity to hear the gospel for granted. Don't take the opportunity to live in a place to where the gospel is elevated. We know people in Thailand, and they've heard the gospel, but they look all around them at the Buddhism, and they just can't get past that to trust Christ. We, most of us, were born in a Christian nation to where the gospel was prominent and where it was considered to be important, not as much now as it was in days past. But don't take your opportunity to hear for granted. That was a gracious thing God did to you. He revealed it to you. And look at verse 26. It says, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. I'd like to spend, you could preach an entire message on that verse, but I'll just make a couple of comments. Number one, whatever God finds good is good. Now here's what I mean by that. Someone says, well, I don't think I like the way God did things. No, God did things good. Well, I don't like what God said in the Bible. No, what God said is good. Well, I don't think this and that's fair, this and that's right. No, when God said it, that settles it. Amen? You'll be a lot better off if you will accept what God said rather than argue with it. The judgments God has made, whatever they are, those are the right judgments. You say, Pastor, I don't like the way God has put my life together. Well, let's back up to phase step number one. Aren't you glad he got you saved? Amen? That's the best part of all. And once he's done that, he's got a path for you, and it's going to include some suffering, like we talked about in Sunday school, and some trials and some disappointments and some heartaches. But can you just stay on path until you get to that gate that enters into eternity? And you're going to look back and you're going to realize, wow, God knew what he was doing after all. Amen? I don't understand that. I don't understand why God does what he does. And I would have done things different perhaps, but then I'm not God. Amen? The Lord says, it seemed good in thy sight to do what you did, to reveal it to who you revealed it to. And I don't need to understand all that, but I do know what God does is always good. He says in verse 27, all things were delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And I would say to you quite simply, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot know God. Someone says, well, what about those people that deny Christ, but they're seeking God? Jesus said it this way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they reject the God of creation. And there's no exception to that. So in Judgment Day, there are going to be some people that are condemned, and there's going to be some people that had heard, like you and I, and received it. But look at this last piece, and this is, the most exciting part of the passage, and many of us may have memorized these somewhere along the way. Verses 28, 29, and 30. And it talks about a yoke. I'll explain that in just a minute. But look, let's read those once again. Matthew 11, 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find, there's that word again, rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now you probably have heard about the yoke that you can picture in your mind. The one I picture in my mind would be two oxen side by side in a field, and they would build a wooden frame, if you will, that would fit over the oxen's neck and push up against their shoulders. They're very careful how they built that device because the oxen is going to use that device to pull a load, maybe a plow or something like that, and they did not want it to rub or chafe the oxen's shoulders. So they're very careful how they would build this. And the idea of a yoke would be that two oxen would work together, that both of them would be pulling the load. Now, when you start thinking about that picture and read these verses, it starts to get exciting because look what Jesus says. He says, take my yoke upon you. It's you and the Lord Jesus Christ together in the situation. Is there any load he can't pull? Is there any effort that is too great for him? What he's saying is, you need to yoke up with me. The first thing you have to do in order to do that is to come unto him in verse 28. Isn't it amazing what people go to try to find satisfaction, to try to find happiness, to try to find deliverance? Some people go to substances. They go to alcohol or drugs looking for deliverance. Some other people go into all sorts of different immorality, psychology, all sorts of things that they try to find deliverance. I want you to know something. If you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he can do what no one else can do. If you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he can do something in your life that no doctor can do, that no substance can do. He is able to do what no one can do. And he says, come unto me. Have you ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ? And then my next question would be, how recently? Was it maybe a long time ago and now you've stopped? I think we need to come to him every day. Amen. I think we need to come to him every problem, amen? Nothing wrong with coming to him over and over and over in the same day And I'm sure you would agree with me, many of us, we just pray every time something comes up. That's okay. He said, come to me. Open invitation. Amen? He says, come unto me. Look who he's talking to. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'm not going to try to read into that a whole lot, but I will tell you this. There's one type of labor that he's talking about, and that is laboring for salvation. And again, you can't save yourself. But there's other kinds of labor that fit into that formula as well. The older I get, the more I enjoy rest. The older I get, the easier I get tired. The older I get, the more I need strength from him. I'm not looking forward to what happens from here on. It's not going to get any better. But I do know this. The Lord Jesus Christ promised he could give us rest. I don't always understand how he does that or how he can do that. But I know this. He made that promise. Amen? He said, if you labor and you're heavy laden, I will give you rest. And then I think this is a clue as to how that happens. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And I'm going to go ahead and finish the verse and then break it down into pieces. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And here you go. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Have you ever felt like you're in it all by yourself? Maybe you're trying to get somebody to get saved. You're witnessing to them and you feel like that there's nobody else involved. Well, you need to put that yoke on, realize something. Jesus is involved. Amen? And you need to understand something. And this is a great comfort to me. I think it will be to you if you care about souls. It is not my job to be the Holy Spirit. It is my job to be the messenger. In other words, I can give somebody the gospel. One of the best things you can do, and don't miss this opportunity, one of the best things you can do is tell people that you know that Christ died for you. Amen. That you've received him as your Savior. I was debating with a fellow last week, and I said that to him. And of all the things I had said to him, he picked that one to post to all his friends on Facebook. I thought, praise the Lord. I told you that I trusted Christ. You mocked it and promptly showed it to 100 of your friends or whatever. There's 100 more folks that heard the gospel. Amen? Just tell folks what happened to you. Did you receive Christ? Did he save you from your sins? Are you comfortable that you know what's going to happen when you die? Do you realize how big that is? How few folks have that comfort that you have? There's the rest for your soul. My body may be tired. In a sense, it may be fatigued and it may be worn out. But I tell you this, my soul is at peace knowing where it's going to spend eternity. Amen? Can you say that? Amen? I know where I'm going to spend eternity. That feels pretty good. This life may be difficult and you may get tired, but one thing I know, it's all going to come to an end on that day of judgment. On that day of judgment, the folks that know the Lord Jesus Christ are going to step into eternity to be with him forever and ever. In a wonderful place that was indescribable. Those folks that didn't know him are going to be cast into a lake of fire that burns forever and ever, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Feels pretty good to know which crowd you're in, doesn't it? Amen. And that comes when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Muhammad can't do that for you. Buddha can't do that for you. Confucius can't do that for you. The New Age movement can't do that for you. All the isms and all the religions and all the false priests and the false prophets of our day, they can't do that for you, but Jesus can. Amen. Feels good to know where you're going to spend eternity. It is comforting. It is restful. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. You know, he'll even accept us. He doesn't have to. He shouldn't, but he will. And then he says again in verse 30, my yoke is easy and my burden is like light. A couple of thoughts and I'm done. And we're right on time. First of all, there's a yoke waiting for you. Amen? Amen. You say, Pastor, I don't like to work. Yeah, I can't help that. There's work to be done. There's a yoke waiting for you. There's a load to be carried. But I have good news for you. Jesus will carry it with you. And I have good news for you. Whatever day you become a little too weak, he's strong enough. And when you can't quite pull the load, he can. You better get in that yoke, amen? You don't want to do that by yourself. There's a yoke waiting for you. It's a connection between you and Christ. It's a load that you must pull, but he pulls with you. Once you're yoked up with him, you're going to learn by going alongside him. Christians are experts at on-the-job training. We walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He teaches us just like He taught His disciples. Amen? And that's what He wants us to do, is to walk with Him. If you walk with Him, you'll learn about Him. He'll show you some things you didn't know before. His heart is what makes His yoke a place of rest. He is meek and lowly. He's willing to yoke up with you. You ever get stuck on more than once in my life, I have been teamed up with somebody that wasn't any good at what they were going to do. When I was in college, I had a project one time, and I wasn't a very good student, and they put me with two guys that were worse. Now I got to do all the work. When you're playing some sport and you're going to have the three-legged race or whatever, and they put you with somebody that's not very fast, I want you to know something. Even though we're not very fast, even though we're not very good, Jesus is willing to yoke up with us. That's an amazing thing if you stop and think about it. He's willing to yoke up with you because He has a humble heart. He's willing to pull the weight that we cannot pull. Now listen to this and I'm done. That which is unbearable alone becomes easy when you're yoked up with Jesus. That which is unbearable alone. You say, I can't pull this load. You need to yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I can't face this problem. You need to yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't get through this by myself. Jesus can get through it with you. Amen? You can see why He makes that statement, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now think about this and I am done. For over 100 years, Noah worked hard. People made fun of him and mocked him, I'm sure. Nobody got on the ark except for his family. At the end of 100 years, Noah and his family got on the ark. Anybody else could have got on. They all rejected the preaching. The door was closed. The rain came. I think if you could have sat down with Noah that day, other than the sadness of knowing that those people are out there dying because they rejected deliverance, I think Noah would have said to you, I'm so glad I listened to God. That's an easy yoke. Amen. That's a light burden. You may face some things in this life that you think are anything but light, but folks, we're going to step into eternity. Listen to me. This is the truth. It's in the Bible. You're going to step into eternity and you're going to say, oh, we've got it so good. The yoke and the burden are so easy and light compared to the rest of the world. But that won't happen unless you know Christ as your Savior. You better know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'll tell you this, once you know Him, if you refuse to serve Him, there's going to be some sadness on Judgment Day. There's going to be some opportunities that you forsook or that you let go that you could have taken and been rewarded for. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for those people that saw what Christ did and rejected Him. Let's all stand and pray.